Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So today's gospel comes to us from Matthew chapter 12. And it's a gospel that we actually read often in church. You probably have heard it like multiple times throughout the year that we read in church. And it's a remarkable passage for many reasons. The main reason to me, at least in the beginning, is that we see that the author kind of tells us about this miracle really in one sentence. Like a man who is demon-possessed, blind and mute, Jesus healed him. So the guy was no longer demon-possessed, he wasn't blind anymore, and he wasn't mute anymore. In one sentence. That's kind of remarkable in and of itself. Because if you think about it, like imagine today you're sitting in church, there's a man who comes and he is demon-possessed, blind and mute, and somehow he is healed. I would guess that if you go out to lunch with your friends afterwards, it's going to take more than like one sentence to talk about the miracle. Like it's going to be a little bit of a discussion. It's not going to be like, oh yeah, there was this guy at church today, you know, he was demon-possessed, blind and mute, no big deal, and he was healed. Like, no big deal. But that's actually kind of what we get from the writer of the gospel today, which is really interesting. And I think the main reason he does that is because what he was fascinated more by wasn't necessarily the miracle of Christ, that Christ performed today, because Christ did many miracles and a lot of them weren't even written. But what he's fascinated more by is the reaction to the miracle or the response to the miracle. And that's actually the entirety of the gospel. It's not just the miracle, but the response to the miracle. What's interesting about today's miracle is this amazing miracle happens, and then there's a dialogue between Christ and the Pharisees. And Christ heals this man, and all of a sudden, the Pharisees' response is what? How did he heal him? He healed him through the power of Beelzebub, who's demons. Like, you healed a demon-possessed man by the power of demons. Which logically, and Jesus breaks down kind of the argument there, like logically it doesn't make any sense. But even let's just say, you know, that the demon possession, Jesus healed the demon possession by the power of Beelzebub, by the power of demon. Well, how did he heal the man from the fact that he was both blind and mute? Like, they never really discussed that part. It was just the demon possession part. What Christ is saying to them today, and we'll see how kind of it applies to us in a little bit, but what Christ is saying is, like, your argument that you're saying doesn't really make sense, because while Satan is wicked, Satan is no fool. Satan is wicked, but he's no fool. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. That doesn't make any sense. That's not logical. So you don't really even believe what you're saying. What you're saying doesn't really make much sense. And then as the passage continues, there comes a warning about this unforgivable sin. And whenever we read anything about an unforgivable sin, all our ears should perk up, because that sounds a little interesting. Kind of applies to all of us. There's an unforgivable sin. Well, let's see what this unforgivable sin is all about. What St. Augustine tells us is that this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit refers to like continual rejection of God or the works of God. So the Pharisees, the reason why Christ is really kind of forceful with them today is not because Christ is condemning them. It's not because he's saying you're subject to damnation forever, you're done, there's no hope for you. He's actually warning them, because he's saying if you're going to reject me just for the sake of rejecting me, and this is kind of the stance you're taking no matter what, that's a very dangerous position to be in. Christ is actually trying to do the opposite today. When Christ is forceful in this way, it's because he's trying to revive someone, he's trying to wake someone up. So that's why he's very forceful today in his response to the Pharisees. And the church points us to this fact by how we align the readings. So a lot of times we align the readings, there's kind of like a consistent theme. So like the Vespers gospel, you would think would be consistent with what we just read about right now. So Jesus heals this man, he has the discussion about, you know, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, and he's trying to kind of warn them, or he's forceful against what they're doing. The Vespers gospel comes to us from Matthew chapter 7, and it's really an interesting pairing to this gospel. Okay, so kind of keep in mind the gospel we just read, and now Matthew chapter 7, this is what Christ says. He says, and this is a passage that we all have heard before many times. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what a man is there among you, who if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent. If then you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" On the surface, this seems like it has nothing to do with what we just read about. Like Christ is kind of giving them the business saying, you know what? Kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Unforgivable sin. And the Vespers Gospels are much more like kind of seems like a lighter note. Like ask, you'll receive. Knock, it'll be open to you. Like, of course, you give good gifts to your children. The Heavenly Father is going to give good gifts to you. All logical stuff. We had a situation in the house a couple of days ago where Sherry comes up frantically. Okay, she comes up frantically. She's like, "I need you right now." And of course, I'm like, "Is there a robber in the house? Like, what's like? Is our daughter okay? Like, what's going on? I need you right now." Any guesses, husband? What's going on in the house? Very good, husband. Spiders and bugs. That's very good. "I need you right now" means there's an urgent emergency. There's a huge spider in that. And honestly, in the beginning, I was like, whatever. Like, there's a spider. I go down there. That thing is the biggest spider I've ever seen in my life. So I couldn't even say anything. It was the biggest spider I've ever seen. So I couldn't even give her a hard time. It was such a big spider. Now imagine if I was like, you know what? This spider today, this looks like a good, delicious meal for my daughter. I know we got eggs in the fridge. I know we got whatever. But you know what? I'm going to give the spider to my daughter. You would all look at me and say, "You're the worst." Like, you're the worst father ever created. And this is kind of what Christ is telling us today. Like, you are not good. I am not good. None of us logically think to act in this way, to give bad things to our children. Why is God going to do anything different with us? So when we hear Christ talking to them about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, about this unforgivable sin, about a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, that's what the heart of Christ is to revive. The heart of Christ is to wake up, is to say, "Be careful. Be careful. If you're going to reject me, be careful. This has lasting implications." St. John Chrysostom tells us, he says, "It is as though he had said to the Pharisees, 'Good things have come specifically to you. So why then do you feel so displeased that you are being wonderfully blessed? Why do you make war against your own salvation?'" St. John Chrysostom is basically saying they're fighting against their own salvation. Like, Christ is here in their midst and he's performing an amazing miracle. Anyone in the right mind would say, "Oh my, this is incredible." But they're fighting against their own salvation. Does this apply to me and you at all? I would say the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit or the eternal rejection, I would venture to say most of us are sitting in here church today, not really on our mind of eternally rejecting Christ. Okay, like I would say we're not on that road, God willing. Okay, none of us are on that road. But how does this apply to me and you? I think today Christ's message for us is that Christ comes every single day to us and he's ready to visit us with his power. He's ready to visit us with his authority. He's ready to visit us with power, healing, love, everything. Christ is always ready to visit us. But are our hearts ready when he comes for that visit? When Christ comes, is your heart ready? Is my heart ready? And Christ comes every single day, wanting to spend time with us, wanting to heal us, wanting to pour his love on us, wanting to give us the good gifts like a father to his children. Is my heart ready and is your heart ready? The passage in Matthew 7 that we read just a little bit ago talks about how we seek, how we knock, how we search for God, and we certainly have to do that. But if we're being honest, the reality is Christianity is less about us seeking and searching for God. And really, when God comes and searches for every single one of us, that our hearts are ready. Because God does way more of the searching than we do. It's not we're looking for God, wondering, "Where is God? I can't find." God is coming to you. God is coming to me. And God's search for every single person here and every single soul is very intimate and very focused on how can I love this person fully. So of course we seek God. Of course we look for God. We try to find God. But honestly, the bigger question for me and you is when Christ is searching for us, when he's trying to find us, are we ready? Are we ready for his visit? Are we ready to embrace him? The answer is clearly for the Pharisees was no. Their heart was not open. Their heart was hard as stone. They were going to reject no matter what. And that's why Jesus says, like, "You see my good works. How can you call the tree evil? How can you call me evil if the works are good? That doesn't make sense." Then he points back at them. And he says, actually, if just continuously there's evil coming out of your mouth, that says something more about what's on the inside of you, not about me. Christ comes to visit and to heal us for many things, and he visits us in many ways. I think sometimes when Christ visits us, sometimes we refuse his visit, sometimes we reject his visit, and sometimes we just miss it. Sometimes we're just not aware that he's coming to see us, that he's coming searching for us. The question that I was left with as I was looking over today's passage is, how do I prepare my heart that when Christ is coming to visit, to do something amazing in my life, in your life, how do I prepare my heart for that? And I think it's just two simple things. The first thing I wrote down was honesty or genuineness. When Christ comes and visits, when we spend time with God and he's coming and he's searching for us, don't try to be someone you're not. Christ isn't looking for a formal relationship. He's looking for an intimate, a personal one. Sometimes we have formalities and we put up all these walls and all these things in our relationship with God. I think Christ just wants us to be us. He already knows what's on the inside. We don't need to pretend. So we just need to be honest with him. Honesty means that I know what's on the inside, I reveal it to Christ, and I'm willing to change. I'm not resistant. And that's why the Pharisees were very resistant to him. They didn't want to change their path. They didn't want to change their way. Just the first thing I wrote down is honesty and genuineness. The second thing I wrote down, which is very relatable, I'm sure to all of us, myself included, is the reason I think we don't experience this visit from Christ is because I think we're very distracted. We live distracted lives. We aren't focused. We aren't eagerly waiting for his visit. Imagine if I told you today that somebody's very important is going to come and visit you. Whoever would be important in your, I don't know, like the CEO of your company is coming to visit you. And I said, CEO of your company is coming at 2:00, 2 p.m. is coming to visit you today. Imagine if you told me, yeah, 1:45, I think I got to go get gas. Oh yeah, there's just like this oil change thing. I wonder what's happening in the world today. I'm going to go read the news real quick. At 1:45, like the guy's coming in 15 minutes. You're going to be like on high alert. Like you're going to be ready for the visit. Question for me and you is, we have all these things in our lives that distract us, but do I set aside time eagerly waiting for the visit of Christ, eager to spend time with him, saying there's nothing more important than this part of my day? And I promise you, the days, I'll speak for me, the days where I go kind of through the motions in terms of setting aside time for God, and the days that I say, yeah, I know I have to spend time with God, but I also have to do A, B, and C, those are the worst days. But the days that I know fully in my heart and I'm convinced that, you know what, the next whatever number of minutes, this is the most valuable part of my day. I'm eagerly waiting for Christ to come and to speak a message and to say something, for me to spend time with him. Even if there's no personal message, just I want to spend time with, that's the most pivotal, like important part of my day. If I do that, the entire trajectory of my day changes. The message for all of us today, I think it's a motivational or inspirational message, is that Christ is saying the kingdom of God is here. I want to come visit every single one of you. I want to come visit. Is your heart ready? Are you prepared? Not are you perfect. Is your heart ready doesn't mean are you perfect. But it's those two things we talked about. Are you willing to be honest about where you are, about what's going on in your life? Or are we going to just have a formal relationship? Are you willing to be honest and I say, let's work on this. Maybe this needs to change. And the second thing is, am I focused? Am I waiting for his visit? Or am I just distracted with everything else that's going on? The beautiful thing about Christ is that he always comes bearing great gifts. Like a good, loving father, he's coming to bear great gifts, coming to give us whatever it is that we need. Not what it is that we want all the times, but it is what we need. And Christ comes and he says, I'm going to do something amazing. Like that demon-possessed, blind, and mute man today. I'm going to come do something amazing. But what's going to be your response? What's going to be my response? If we were willing to accept Christ and prepare for his visitation, I think that changes the trajectory of our spiritual lives. That's when we're alert, where we're awake. We're not just kind of going through the motions. I pray that for me and you, for all of us, that God gives us this power and grace, that he helps us prepare our hearts to receive him, and that we experience that time with him, his intimate love, his infinite love for us, and that we're always loving to spend that time with him and eager to do it every single day of our lives. And glory be to God forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.